From west to east and kingdom to kingdom, you're listening to the Diz Unplugged Connecting with Walt podcast. Connecting with Walt is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, and welcome to episode 48 of Connecting with Walt. I am your host and Diz historian, Michael Bowling, and I am joined by my co-host and producer, Craig Williams. Craig, how are you this week?
I'm great. How are you, Michael?
Doing well. We, you know, remember how like a few weeks ago I said, oh, I think spring has started and we're having an early spring and everything's budding and blooming and all that? Yeah, well, I spoke too soon. It dropped into the 20s. We've had hard frosts every night. My plants that started to, that came out of dormancy, I think they're dead.
Yeah.
It's just been rough.
You are not alone. I mean, the country is just taking a beating, especially those up in the Northeast, in the New England area. So it's tough out there right now. We even had a drop in temperature back here. I know I've been complaining about it for a while, and then
out of nowhere, back in the 70s. I was going to say, what, it went from like 70 to 68?
No, it went from the upper 80s in the 90s, too, which is just unreasonable in late February, early March, to the back to beautiful weather being in the low 70s, and I believe the day before this is released, so yesterday, as of the release date, it was back in the 60s again, which is very exciting.
And of course, our Connecting with Walt family, who are listening to this as they're shoveling snow in their driveway, have just thrown their earbuds.
Hey.
Somewhere into the snowbanks, never to be found again.
Hey, when I'm complaining every single week in August about the weather, then we can talk.
Mm-hmm. So, well, we, you know, like we say in California, it's a dry heat. I mean, in where I live, you know, we get triple digit weather, you know, consistently in the summer, but we don't have your humidity.
Yeah, so, awful.
Anyway, but you know, recently, you know, just this past weekend, Carol and I were at the Walt Disney Family Museum for a special event, and, you know, we're going to be talking this week, too, about a special event I was at a few weeks ago. Well, recently, I participated in an Olympic-like event called Mouse Adventure at the Museum, and my teammate was my friend and colleague from the Diz Unplugged podcast, the Disneyland edition, Mary Jo Mulatto-Willey. And Mary Jo is joining me and Craig today to talk about Mouse Adventure at the Museum. Mary Jo, hey there, hi there, ho there. Welcome to Connecting with Walt.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. Hi, guys.
Hi, we're delighted to have you. So you're walking my side of the street now.
Yeah.
I know, right?
I know. It's sort of cool. You know, I started out on your show, you know, because I was the newbie, and now here you are. I'm on now this was the spinoff Connecting
yes,
with the Walt.
And a fine spinoff, by the way.
Oh, thank you. So well, I couldn't have done it without the Disneyland team. And now I'm delighted that you can be a part of Connecting with Walt. So
yay.
Yeah, and just sort of a little background in here. Mary Jo, I know, has participated in Mouse Adventure for a number of times, and I'm going to ask her to talk a little about that. And when I heard, and I'd never been able to, I was never in the right place at the right time, or I could never find a team to be on, or whatever it might have been. So when I heard I needed a rapid fire for when I was on a Disneyland show, and this came up that there was Mouse Adventure at the museum, the Walt Disney Family Museum. So I said, oh, I want to do this. And when I brought it up on the rapid fire, Mary Jo said, hey, I'll come all the way up to San Francisco and I'll be on your team. And I thought I was just going to have a really hard time finding a teammate. And it was sort of the perfect blend because Mary Jo was familiar with Mouse Adventure and I had never been on a Mouse Adventure, but I have been to the museum many, many times, and Mary Jo's had only visited the museum, but you'd visited at least one time before, I think.
One time, and we really had a quick tour, so I didn't really get to see all of it.
Yeah, so it was sort of a perfect combination there. So, you know, you think it would have resulted in better, higher standing, but we'll get to that later. Let's just say we didn't walk away with any medals at the end. We weren't standing on any podiums. But so Mary Jo, why don't you briefly tell our Connecting with Walt family here, what is Mouse Adventure?
Okay, well, so Mouse Adventures is a competition. It's put on by a company called Third Gate Games, and it's usually held in a Disney theme park. This was the first time they ever tried Walt Disney Museum, which I'm sure you'll talk about. And in the Disney theme parks, there's teams of 2 to 4 players that figure out puzzles that they call quests that will give you a final question that you then need to answer. So the reason these puzzles are called quests is because you really need to first figure out what the heck you're going to do in each puzzle. Then you go through the park to fill in the missing information, and then you use these clues to figure out the final question. So you're on a quest to figure out these puzzles, and then once you decipher them, you're given that final question, which you then have to go on a quest to answer. And this usually takes you to a particular location for that answer, and then in addition to these quests, you have I Spies and trivia. So it kind of gives people in the team, whoever has their different strengths, an opportunity to really use their knowledge about whether it's trivia or the I Spies or how to figure out certain types of puzzles, which we'll go into more detail about. And it takes all day to do this. So much fun.
Does it ever. Yeah, Craig, you had mentioned that you had seen Mary Jo on a Mouse Adventure at Disneyland.
Yeah, it was, I don't even remember what year. All I remember is I saw her running through Frontierland with a group of ladies like a crazy person. And we said hi and then bye.
Yep, no time to talk. You really have to concentrate. So
They even give you little cards in your packet that if somebody asks you what Mouse Adventures, you just hand them the card so that you can keep going.
That's clever.
Yeah, it is very clever. Now, again, you know, folks know I talk about the Walt Disney Family Museum all the time, and you're thinking, okay, how would they ever do this at the museum? Well, the Walt Disney Family Museum, of course, it was started by the Disney family, primarily Diane Disney Miller and her son, Walter Disney Jr. And of course, Ron Miller is on the board along with a couple of the grandchildren. And they started this really to tell her father's story, because what the family was learning is that people, especially the younger generation, thought that Walt Disney was really nothing more than a marketing icon, the way like Betty Crocker or Aunt Jemima or Uncle Ben's. And so what they wanted to do was really tell his story and also tell the real Walt Disney, because there were also a lot of falsehoods being perpetuated out there about Walt. And so what's cool about the museum is when you go in, the museum galleries are set up sort of almost by decades in Walt's life. And so that's how the Mouse Adventure sort of set up what they have. They have these different quests, and they sort of tackled the quests by each quest was almost, not quite, but almost a decade of Walt's life that you had to solve puzzles in. And but the people that devise these puzzles, I don't understand how their minds work. They should be code breakers or something for the CIA. I mean, they're amazing.
They really are. They're so inventive in the way they put these together.
Mm-hmm. So, as we talk a little about this, I don't know if we're going to be able to communicate over radio how clever these are. Mary Jo tried to describe it to me, and it wasn't until I saw it that I really understood how complex this was. So, Mary Jo, if somebody wants to do a mouse adventure, how do they sign up?
The easiest way is to just type in mouseadventure.com and go to the website, and they have a link there where you can get on the newsletter, and they will email everybody to give a heads up, hey, we're going to have our game on this date, because they usually have it twice a year at Disneyland and Walt Disney World now. It used to only be at Disneyland. Now they've expanded to Walt Disney World. And then when you get the email, that gives you your clue of you get your teams together, you select a captain, because one person has to sign everybody up. So you want to make sure that you assign that one person to do that. Otherwise, oh, I thought you signed us up. Oh, well, I thought you did. So you want to make sure that that one person has all the relevant information, email. I think that's it, just the emails and the names and a team name. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Not mandatory, but it makes it more fun to have a team name. And then and when the email comes out that they're ready to take signups, you sign up.
And don't use an AOL email, because for some reason it doesn't like the Mouse Adventures site. Oh. So I had to use a Yahoo account. It worked much better. So, and then there's stuff to bring. So you get all this information about things to bring. Mary Jo gave me all this advice as to all the different paraphernalia to bring. So Mary Jo, what do you recommend people bring?
Okay. So the most important thing is bring a couple of pencils in case you break one. So you need a pencil, scrap paper, a clipboard to write on. That helps. Or Michael had a great one, because yours had a compartment where you could put your supplies in. Mm-hmm. So usually we ask for the clipboard, pen, pencil for sure, pen, highlighters, a ruler, scotch tape, post-it notes, and plenty of water. That's usually.
Oh, yeah. And snacks.
And snacks, because there's no time to go eat.
Mm-hmm.
Not if you're competitive.
Yeah, and the scratch paper comes in really handy, because you're doing code solving and puzzle solving and all that on that scrap paper. So
yeah.
Okay. So then when you get to your destination, the way it was set up at the museum, because these were on regular open days at the museum, open to the public. So of course they couldn't take over the museum because there were guests there. So it covered a space of 2 days, and they had 30 teams on one day. And these were teams of two. They kept it at teams of two, again, just for out of courtesy to the other museum guests. And so it was 30 on a Saturday and 30 on a Sunday. And Mary Jo and I actually were going to a talk about Mary Blair on Saturday at the museum, but we also used that time to go through the museum and really scope it out. I really recommend that. And then that became very helpful for us. And then we participated on Sunday. And so when you get there, they give you your lanyard. They give you your, and then you have a little Mouse Adventure at the Museum little thing that has your team number on it. We were 2006, and your team name. If you order a button, you get that. It has your whatever name you give yourself. Since our team was the Merry Mouseketeers, so I put in our buttons Mouseketeer Michael and Mouseketeer Mary Jo. And it's funny, the background is very merry, very Mary Blairish, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you another little button. It's an event button, and for Mouse Adventure at the Museum with the date, and then a button for Third Gate Games, and then a very cool lanyard that says that's a Mouse Adventure lanyard, and then you get this big old packet, well, a good sized packet with all kinds of stuff in it. It's like the rules and things like there's a couple pages of rules and guidelines, a map of the museum, information on becoming a member. They give you, the museum gave the member a member magazine that museum members usually get. They gave one to everybody. So give you an idea what's going on. Really nice article on Ivan Earle and a few other things in there and some new acquisitions. They also gave the museum also donated posters. You know, it takes.
Those were really nice.
They were very nice. I mean, it takes people to make the dream a reality. Is what it said on there. And they're big. These are huge posters and all that. And so then you go through all of that and review the rules and everything. Oh, and then I think there are the score sheets and the answer sheets are in there. And then we get the packet.
Well, before that, you get a scatter card.
Oh, right. Okay.
So they gave it. So there's two other things. Michael didn't see this one. It's an errata sheet. So they usually take about.
Did you say it's an erotic sheet?
No, I didn't. Well, it is Valentine's Day, but they have an errata sheet so that what during the year they plan out these puzzles and these quests, and they really look to see what can be used in the parks or for the museum, what can be used in the museums to make an interesting puzzle or quest. But come time of the weekend to actually play the game, sometimes things get moved around. So they have to put out a sheet that says, well, you won't be able to find this answer, so here it is, or instead of this place, you're going to go to this place. So it's to help the team members. And then another thing which I think is really ingenious is they give each member a card with a different design. And Michael, what did ours was the?
It was Walt and with his grandchildren in the original Tomorrowland Utopia car, and that signified our meeting place, which was at that car that's in the museum, the original Utopia car that was made for Walt's grandson Christopher by Bob Gurr.
So if you don't know where these, and there were I think four different areas where small groups started so that everybody isn't converging in one spot at once, which I think is a great idea. And they realized this a few years ago that it just works better that way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know the museum, then you have to go find where your spot was. So luckily, right. Like Michael said, we scoped it out. And plus, Michael knows the museum, so he knew where to go.
Yeah, I led the group there, yeah.
Yeah, there were so many clueless people. Remember, they were like, "Thank you." We had no idea where to go.
So. I know. I thought maybe I shouldn't have, but anyway. But yeah, then we get our packet once we get there, and it's a little white envelope, and it has all of the different quests inside. And then immediately, the museum because they said, even though they say bring a pen, bring a highlighter, the museum said, don't bring those. Only use pencils. And there were some other specific rules for the museum. You couldn't write on top of, any of the cases and things like that. So, and all that. But then there's all these different quests. And you immediately, everybody sits down and they start strategizing. You start going through the quests, reading them, trying to figure out where in the museum they belong to, and then looking at the point value. Did you want to talk any more about strategizing, Mary Jo?
I think, well, one of the things that people have to keep in mind is these quests are designed so the majority of people are not going to finish all of them. So you have to really look at the types of questions and what the puzzle entails. They go anywhere. We had from 30 points, 30, 40, 50, and 60 points, 60 being the hardest. And that's going to be the most time-consuming. So we started right where we were at, right where the Utopia is, right?
We were in Gallery 9, and there were two quests there, right in Gallery 9, and they were both 30 points each. So the first one we did was Absolute Fantasyland, and there's a wonderful model there of which is the highlight of the museum, and it's a working model of, it's the Walt Disney of Walt's imagination. What he pictured with all of the new things he was going to add to Disneyland, with the new Tomorrowland that was planned and all that, what it was going to look like maybe if he had lived, and maybe, you know, a couple of years after he passed away. So there are things that are there that together in the map, that in the model, that in real life were never there. Like, there is the original concept for Space Mountain sitting in the 1967 Tomorrowland, and the flying saucers are sitting next to it. You know,
that
so
was cool to see.
Yeah, so there's things like that throughout the map. So in this one, what you had to do, it's like you had to there were all these questions that they asked that they want to know about the map. You had to find them, and you have to be subtle because there's people all around you doing this. So, for instance, the first question, the People Mover goes through Space Mountain. Well, okay, in real life, it did at one point, but you've got to see, does it on the model? And it does not on the model. Well, if it were true, there were these two letters, A-S. And it was false, there were these letters N-U. So it was false for the model. So, you know, Mary Jo underlined those. And then on the front, there was like a crossword puzzle-looking thing. But it really wasn't a crossword puzzle. So in spaces number one, you had to write N-U. And am I making sense here, Mary Jo? Am I explaining this right?
Well, to me, you are because we did this. But
yeah.
So what Michael's saying is there's a number of these types of questions that you have to know. You have to look at the map. You can't, just because you know Disneyland doesn't mean that you have the right answer. Because when we did the People Mover, I was like, oh yeah, it went through Space Mountain. And Michael said, well, we got to look at the model. And sure enough, that's where we saw the difference. So once you do all of that, there's this kind of like a grid, what Michael's talking about. And when you fill in those letters, it comes up with a question.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the wrong answer, then the words don't make sense. So then you kind of go back and forth between what's on the question side of the paper and turning it over and filling in these empty letter spots.
Right. Yeah. So when you read the letters in the correct order, you'll reveal your final question. Then you have to find the answer to that question and write it on the answer sheet. And so we did that, but there are secret quests in this. And
yes,
there was a hidden quest. And there was a hidden quest in this, and we didn't figure it out. We never figured it out. We didn't really look for hidden quests, I guess. But other people found them. And so, Mary Jo, do you want to say what the hidden quest was in this?
Okay. So as Michael was saying, we had to, either if the answer was true or false, we had two letters. Well, the other option for the wrong answer, if you used those and plotted them in the same grid, that would have asked another question that you mm-hmm. had to ask the, and it told you what to do. I'm not going to go into those details, but that gave you, how many points was that, Michael? The hidden quest, 30?
I don't remember, because it launched you into something else.
It was
and I don't
points.
Know what the point value was for that.
Yeah, that was so. 20 points.
Anyway, so that was very clever. And you had to, also, in case you run into, like, how does this work? They did have Mouse Adventure staff stationed throughout the museum. And there were very strict rules about if you needed help with something. Because we asked for hints a couple of times, and it wasn't that they could give you answers, but maybe they helped you they helped you with a way of looking at the quest or something that maybe might lead you in figuring out how to solve it, but they wouldn't give you the answer.
Yeah, so. And it might be they would read the instructions, but they would enunciate on mm-hmm. a certain word, and then the light bulb clicks, and you're like, oh, okay.
Or they would move their hand a certain way, as yeah. like they looked at the answer, and if they might move their hand from left to right, and maybe that was a hint that, well, maybe if you read it backwards, you know, that kind of hint they might do. So, but they wouldn't say maybe if you read it backwards. You would just have to notice as they're reading, as they're sort of as they're sort of reading the instructions with you, you might see that they wave their hand over the page that way. And that was their way of telling you, think about this a different way. So you really had to be observant.
Yes.
So above the model is the Lily Bell from the Carolwood Express that was in Walt's backyard at his Holmby Hills home. Well, and that was called No Caboose. And I knew what that one was because I knew that the caboose on the Carolwood Pacific was out for refurbishment, for restoration. So we went up there. This was a fun one. Because... this is the one where you had to find numbers. There's these information panels in front of the train. There's six of them. And it all goes through Walt's whole history of his love for trains. And every time there... And so what they do is they list the name of every panel, the Railwood Fair, Grinfield Village, Lily Bell, you know, so on. And then what you have to do is any time a number is mentioned, beneath like the 1948 Railwood Fair, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spaces. So any time in that 1948 Railwood Fair panel, any time there's a number... You have to write it down in one of those spaces. And a discussion Mary Jo and I went into is that there was a number 2 written out TWO. And I said, that's a number. And
I didn't think it was because I was thinking of the word 2 and I was thinking 3 letters as opposed to changing the number, what it really spelled and that it was the number 2.
Yeah, and I don't think I explained that very well when I was mentioning it. And so, anyway, it turned out that's what it was, that if it was a written-out number, you had to write it as a numeral. If it was in text, you had to write it as a numeral. That's probably the way I should have explained it a week ago. And so, anyway, so... And so you go through all of that, and then when you're done, there's oh my gosh, there I don't even know how to explain this. There was
the numbers, yeah.
There was this grid on the back with all these numbers and letters. And go ahead, Mary Jo.
Okay, so the numbers that we found, we then. Looking, we didn't plot them. They were already there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is where being a team really helps because as one of us used the grid, so you had the numbers across that we had seen, and then you had a row of letters or a column of letters below it. And you would, the numbers that you had seen, you would call them out and then cross off the letters that were underneath these particular numbers. And so as I called the letters off and crossed them off, Michael was writing them on another piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to think. So if, let's say, like Michael said, 1948. So I'm going to look for the number 1 and then read that first letter, then the number 9 and then that first letter, then 4 and then 8, and then so on. So every time the number 1 shows up, we're going to go to the next letter in the column and cross that off. Mm-hmm. Going and working our way through that, Michael was then able to come up with a question, which wasn't the answer. That was just part of the... This quest was like in 3 parts, right, Michael? We had to get the numbers. Mm-hmm. We had to do that first grid. And then there was another grid underneath.
Yes. Yes, there was.
And then we had to figure out the question from that grid, mm-hmm. the second grid, and that gave us the question that we had to find the answer to in that same area.
Right. Yeah, the answer was somewhere in that upper display of the train. And it took us a little while to find it. And I think it was, we did. And it was something that I thought, I have looked at that a million times. And but there was a tiny, tiny little detail that I had never noticed. So,
and I think for you, Michael, you've been to the museum so many times, the Mouse Adventure game gives you a different perspective, right? You
see absolutely.
Some of these details that you hadn't really had maybe have overlooked because you're looking at other things.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So that was really fun. I really enjoyed that one. Yeah. Then we decided, the rest of them we sort of did, the next one was towards the beginning of the museum. So we sort of went, we went out to the museum. One of the things you can't do is you can't backtrack. So if we wanted to go to an earlier gallery, you could only go one gallery back. You couldn't go like two galleries back. And that was mainly so that you weren't salmon. Because like I said, the museum goes in a chronological order of Walt's life. So they didn't want a lot of people going backwards and, again, interfering with the guest's experience. So because we wanted to go to gallery two and we were in gallery nine, we had to go out and go back into gallery one, rather than backtracking all the way to gallery two. So anyway, and also along the way, there's a couple of other things you're doing. There's an I Spy sheet, and it's close-ups of items in the museum, real details of either things, items on display or photographs or whatever. And sometimes these are really close up. And what they've done is they've blocked out text or numbers or something that's on the object itself. And so not only do you have to find this in the museum, you then, beneath the picture on the I Spy sheet, have to write what is the missing word or text or whatever it is in there. And so you're doing numerous things all at the same time. Yes. as you're running through this.
You have to be a good multitasker.
Yes. Yes, you do. Okay, so we went to Gallery 2. This is all about the Alice comedies. And this is Encounters with Alice. And the way this gallery is set up, because, you know, there are 57 Alice comedies. There were 17 that we had to focus on. And the way that they display these 17 is, if you've gone to old-timey theater palaces, the way they have, the way they show the posters in front of the theaters, they're like these beautiful gilded frames that they have. Well, they have recreations of those in this gallery, but they're interactive in that they are videos that move back and forth inside each other. They will travel through all four frames, all four of these displays. I think there's four of them. And they move back and forth and up and down and all around, and you're trying to keep track of these. And what we have to figure out is on the back of this sheet, they had pieces of the 17 titles that you wanted. So you had to get, so like if like the first one, there was 1, 2, 3, 4 words in the title. And they give you one of the words, Alice. Really huge help there. And so what you had
to, since all of them start with Alice.
Yeah, Alice or Alice's. And if you were lucky, maybe in one of them they might put in the word the. So what we had to do, first of all, was write down all 17. And then so Mary Jo and I both did that and then compared our list to make sure, you know, we had them both and that we had the same list. And then because it's easy to like write the same one twice because you can't always remember, have I written that one down or not? And all you're doing is just writing. And so then you have to sit there and figure out where do they fit in this sheet, because some of the, there's a lot of four word titles. So you've, but then the trick is there are numbers under some of them. Like in this first one, it's the 4-1, it's Alice. And then there's in the fourth letter, there's a number 3. And that means
fourth word.
I'm sorry. There's a number 3. And I don't even remember what that was about, but it had to do with the letter. It was that letter.
Yeah, so what you had to do is you had to figure out how to put the titles, and the clue was at the end of the titles, they had the number of letters. So you had mm-hmm. to count the number of words, the count and the letters, figure out which was the correct title. And then, like Michael said, there was a number underneath one of those words, and then you had to get whatever letter that number was associated with. So it might say, if it was three, like Michael said, you count the third letter, and then that's the word, that's the letter that you put down
mm-hmm.
and the sheet that you're going
right.
to decipher.
Right. And so they did help you. And like Mary Jo said, at the end of each one, they said, okay, this four-word title has 12 letters. And then this other four-word title, it has 13 letters. Well, the thing is, some of them would have the same number of letters. So that meant you had to fiddle around with them so that whatever you came up with at the end made sense. So, because, yeah, all these letters that you had to circle, because, you know, like the third letter, the fourth word. In the second one, it was the sixth letter of the third word. That all had to make a sentence at the end. This one stumped us for the longest yeah. time. And then, let's see, and then what it was is... it spelled out the final question, and then you had to write the answer to the question. And once we finally figured out the question, I immediately knew the answer. I did not have to look it up. And so at least that was good. But yeah.
That was a really good question. Again, having a partner really helps, because was one of us was reading the word. You know, we worked together to fill in the titles. But then one would get the letter, the other would write it down so we could get the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And when we finally figured out how to read that sentence, then, like Michael said, it was really easy.
Yeah.
I think the answer came out super quick.
Immediately. Yes. Right. When yeah. So uh-huh. Then the next one was The Wonderful World of Color. This actually, there was a lot to look for in here. Oh, the Alice quest was 40 points. So that was a lot of points. The next one, The Wonderful World of Color, was 40 points. This was Gallery 3. And Gallery 3 has a lot. It's all the short subjects. There's a little area in there on the Disney family. And then also the ink and paint department. And for this one, there were questions. So what you had to do was, like, for instance, the first one, Walt's skis were made in. And then it was either Austria or Switzerland. So you had to find Walt's skis, read the information on it, and then choose the correct answer, which was Switzerland. There was, after each option, there was a little, in parentheses, there was a little number with an arrow in front of it pointing either up, down, left, or right. And that was very important, because once you got all of that, after you got all your answers, you had a little pattern of a path that you had to follow. Because then you go in the ink and paint area, there is a large display of colors in the little pots, in the jars that the ink and paint girls used, and they're all labeled. Now, I had a hard time with this, and I would say that one of the things is some areas of the museum are a bit dimly lit. I don't know if that's to preserve some of the original items in there from being faded, but I would say, and you cannot use artificial light, like off your phone or anything like that. I would say if you wear reading glasses when you do a quest at the Mouse Adventure to Museum, bring those reading glasses with you. This yeah. is where I needed them desperately. Because I had a really hard time reading a lot of the things that we needed to figure out here. So what it is they then gave, after you've had all your answers, you had to go to stand in front of the ink and paint, and you started at a certain color, which, because I couldn't read them, they actually helped me find it. And then as Mary Jo read the directions, you know, left two, down three, I had to go from that ink and paint and then follow the whole little path, I had to go, you know, left two from the starting color. Then from there, I had to go down three. And I just had to follow whatever directions Mary Jo gave me. And then whatever color we ended at, we had to write that name on the answer sheet. So, and I think we got that one. So
I think we did.
Yeah. So
that was another really good one because, again, you're reading more of the displays that they had, the signs, there was just so much.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you know the museum, you and I were still searching for some of those.
There was
you
one.
Knew the general vicinity mm-hmm. of most of them, I think. Mm-hmm.
There were two that we had a really hard yeah. time with. And one of them was just, I couldn't read it. It was too small and dim. Yeah. In there. So that's why I said bring your reading glasses. bring a magnifying glass.
I wish.
Anyway.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. So anyway, with the next one, this was a big one. This was 50 points, and this covered a lot of galleries. This covered two galleries, Success, Ambitions, and Contributions. This covered Snow White, the Burbank Studio, Pinocchio, Bambi, the Multiplane Camera, Fantasia, the Studio Strike, El Grupo, which was the Goodwill trip to South America, and World War II. There was a lot in here. And what we had to do was, there were just statements. And you had to, and then there was a missing word. You had to find the missing word. And this wasn't as easy as it sounds, because sometimes things weren't where you thought they would be. Like, there was one, 3 years blank, 2 years art school, 5 years animation. Well, of course, we're looking over at, like, where it talks about the animators. Well, what it was is, and Mary Jo spotted this, because I spotted one that was two things below it. It was on one of the strike posters for the 1941 yeah. studio strike. You know, so it was really fascinating. So as you, and Mary Jo, and then what it was is, as you found the word, there was like one of those word search puzzles, and you circled or crossed out the words as you found them. There was one we couldn't find, and Mary Jo found it. The answer in the word search, because we had found everything else. And then after you did that, you read a question in that, for the letters that you didn't cross out. You then had to read them going across. And then that's where I think Mary Jo was spelling out the letters, and I wrote them on the scratch paper. And then we figured out what the question was. Then you had to find the answer to the question. And luckily, I think I knew where that one was.
Yeah, so, you knew right where to go for it, because that one was, and that was, it was interesting. So that one we got for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely got that one, but it took us a while to find these. Mm-hmm. These were not easy. So, anyway, sometimes
here's mm-hmm. another thing. You can only be arm distance from each other. So it couldn't be where Michael and I were. So we couldn't split up and, you know, you take that area and I'll take this area. We had to be together mm-hmm. for everything, working on each particular question.
Yeah, because sometimes I'd wander off and Mary Jo would call after me. Because I would think, oh, it's over there. But Mary Jo was finding an answer to something in one display area. And I thought, okay, she's found that one. Oh, I think I know where this one is. And I would just like walk off. So, anyway, yeah.
That was funny.
That was. So, luckily, they didn't catch us, or they realized, or you caught you before they were going to say something. Yeah. You grabbed me.
So, I walked very quickly to you.
Yeah. So, anyway, then there was the last one. I should let you talk about this one. We finished everything, and we had like except we still had a few items to find on the I Spy, and I knew what gallery they were in, and I just couldn't find them. And maybe if we'd gone in there a little longer, maybe we would have. I don't know. But the clever thing about the I Spy, as it turned out, we didn't know this till the end when they talked about the results, is that the galleries where they didn't use for the quests were where all the I Spy photos were from. So that's why I think they were from Gallery 1 in there, which is Walt's birth all the way through World War I. So anyway, but then there was awards galore. If you have never been to the Walt Disney Family Museum, when you walk into the lobby, and this is the free area, you can see this if you're just passing by the museum and just want to pop in. It's just a very, very small collection of Walt's awards. Now, Walt got hundreds and hundreds of awards in his lifetime. These are the awards that are owned by the Walt Disney family, and it's not even all the ones they have. They have more in storage. But this is an incredible number of awards. It circles.
I think there's the 9 cases.
Yeah.
Floor-to-ceiling cases.
Yes.
There are
9 cases filled with awards of all sizes. Some tiny little medallions to giant ones like the famous Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs Academy Award. Mary Jo, why don't you tell our listeners what this quest was?
This one was so tough. So this one we got on the paper. We had a list that we had to look at the different awards. We were given a year that mm-hmm. the award was awarded in. And then we were given, we were given a certain number of words. So we had spaces, like maybe let's say 5 words. And the letters were indicated by dashes, like underscores. So for instance, if it was 4 dashes, 2 dashes, 3 dashes, the 2 and 3 might be of the, and then whatever, 6 dashes. So Michael and I were looking, and we could not figure out.
We didn't know what the hell this was.
I can't give too much because I know that people will be playing the game. But it took us, we went, I don't know how many times to get hints of how to figure it out. And finally, somebody told us some.
Well, I finally said, okay. I said to them, because I was getting really frustrated. And I said, okay, first of all, I am an English teacher, so I am taking this very literally. Because there were times Mary Jo had to explain to me how they word the questions and all that, so that I didn't go too far off the deep end. And I said, it says here, the year of the award and phrase that fits the spaces provided. Because the way Mary Jo and I started made sense. But we weren't finding anything. And that's the word phrase. Phrase to me is a group of words that conveys a complete thought. And that's what I told them. I said, are we looking for phrases, groups of words that convey a complete thought? Or are we just looking for random groups of words? And they said, you're looking for random group of words. And I said, then we are not looking for phrases.
Yeah. Anyway. So once that's right. That's so once you got that. So we were looking for random groups of words on hundreds of awards, and you had to look on the. So you have the awards displayed, and down at the bottom, they had the number. So you had an award and it had the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So then down on the bottom, you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, where they explain what the award is. So you had to find the year. And then you had to go back to the award and then read it, looking for the correct
grouping
of words.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was horrible.
Yeah. This killed us.
Yeah, you came up with a strategy that I think if we had had another hour, we would have it would have worked, or
well,
maybe not even another
strategy,
hour.
Mm-hmm. I think if we had come up with that strategy earlier, like 15 minutes, because they. They gave that particular quest 40. They thought it would take people 45 minutes to do. If we had got the idea 15 minutes into it, we would have figured out the answer.
Okay.
But we were so wrapped up trying to figure out what they were talking about because it was so confusing. But
And some people just went.
Other people did get it.
Yeah, but they didn't do the whole thing. They finally figured out, just go for the final answer. And they actually, and what it was is it had to do with an award Walt received, and they gave the number of letters of something that appeared in the award, because it all was color coordinated with the letters that were in the word, the phrase, the random group of words you had to find. There were colored boxes, and then you'd move those letters into these colored spaces and rearrange them until you found out this would be a real phrase. And so people just went right for that. They just started looking at awards that would fit this sort of title, let's say, and that's how some of them figured it out. I did not like this quest, not because it stumped us, but because this, to me, this was the only quest where I didn't learn something from it. All the other quests, I learned something about the museum or about Walt or about an artifact or whatever. This one, I felt they threw it in here just to make it difficult. And I thought I didn't come away knowing anything more about the awards or about Walt or anything like that. So for me, this quest was for me a failure, literally as well as figuratively. So I don't know how they could have tweaked it to make it a little more meaningful. I think if they had, where I felt I knew, I had learned more about the awards when we were done with the quest, even if we had still bombed it, I would have been fine with it. So this one bothered me.
Yeah, you had a tough time with this one.
Oh, did I?
Emotionally.
Yes. It just, I don't like being given busy work. You know, I think that's what it comes down to. And I felt this was busy work. So, but you looked at it on a different way, and I think Carol looked at it the same way as you when I explained it to her.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah. I don't remember what it was because I was not open to her thoughts. So anyway, but you liked it. So what did you like about it?
Yeah. Well, I would not have spent so much time looking at the different awards like I did when we went through this quest. I thought it was clever in how they did it. We just ran out of time. If we had had another hour, if we had another hour to do the whole day, I think we would have got it, and we would have been a lot happier, and we would have gone back and done some of the I Spies that we weren't able to. We did get some of the I Spies, but we would have been able to go back and get some more.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see how they tweak this one, or if they even tweak it. There was one other thing, this one I'm very happy with. There was also a trivia. And you got 1 point for each of them. There were 25 questions. And what was nice is, with this trivia question, these trivia questions, you could not find the answers in the museum. You had to know them. And so I was sort of doing them as we had free time, or sort of towards the end when I think we realized we're not getting this awards galore thing. And there were a couple I wanted to run by Mary Jo and get her thoughts on it and all that on them, because I was to see if she agreed with what I was thinking, or I thought, okay, I could go a couple of ways here and stuff like that. So I wanted to get her input on it. And we, at least in trivia, we were number one.
I am
very pleased about that.
They made sure to tell us that too. They were like, "But you got the highest in trivia."
Yes. After they gave us our other score. So, Mary Jo, do you want to share what our standing was out of? Well, they said 30 teams. That there were only 28, I think.
teams?
Yeah, because
no, there were 30.
Oh, okay.
A couple
I thought
of them
it
didn't
was.
Didn't have names.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. Okay.
So out of the highest, the most you could get was 345 possible points. I forget what number one got, but we ended up with we had 202 points out of the 345. We actually tied with another team, but we beat them by 3 minutes. So we came in ahead at, we got 22 out of 30 teams. And counting both days, we came in at 45 out of 60 teams.
Okay.
So I'd rather count the 2 days.
All right. Well, we weren't last. That's just
no.
I'm just glad, and we came in first in trivia. So I'm. So those two things are great. And I think now that you know, I understand Mouse Adventure a little more. You know, maybe we'd do better next time. So anyway,
I think we did all right. It was the first time mm-hmm. For you. I've been playing it, and I still, you know, some of the things. It's. As you and I were talking about, I've been playing since 2006, and the Third Gate game still comes up with puzzles that I have never seen before, or the answers that I've never seen, how to figure it out. So they're just so ingenious in the way they put these together.
It's amazing. Just absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand minds that think that way. I mean, it's incredible. So Mary Jo, would you do it again?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, this is a lot of fun. I'd love to do it at Disneyland sometime. So I don't know if I have the stamina for that one.
It's one of the things that we learned is you have a good hearty breakfast before, and you make sure you fuel yourself
mm-hmm.
before you start, so that there. I think there was one where none of us had breakfast. There's a core of four of us that usually play, and we were dying at the end. We tempers and tired and everything. So if you feel yourself right, you're ready to play the game, you're thinking more sharply and make sure you're hydrated, it's just a better time in playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, we could always stop to eat, because there are a lot of teams that stop to eat, but we're too competitive to do that. So we always make sure that we have snacks with us. We couldn't do that in the museum, but at Disneyland, it's really important mm-hmm. to make sure yeah. you have some of that protein with you.
Yeah. Yeah, the museum does have a cafe, so if we had wanted to, we could have stopped, but we didn't. You just sort of lose track of time.
Yeah.
So, anyway, now, if this sounds like fun and you would enjoy doing this, there are a couple of Mouse Adventures coming your way, one in each kingdom. Mouse Adventure Tales is coming up at Walt Disney World's Animal Kingdom. And this is in celebration of the park's 20th anniversary. This will be on March 3rd, 2018. And registration is now open for that event. Disneyland's next Mouse Adventure is April 29th. And like Mary Jo said, check mouseadventure.com for information about registration. You know, sign up for their newsletter. If you have participated in a past Mouse Adventure, check your email for information about registration. And Mary Jo, thank you so much, not only for being my teammate at Mouse Adventure and for your patience, but, you know,
it
but
was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it very much. And thank you for joining us on Connecting with Walt to share share the adventure with our listeners.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoy this.
Great. So did I. Well, here we are. It's that time again for This Day in Disney History Quiz. And this is for the week of March 4th. Of course, we have our returning champion here, Craig Williams. And back is our returning Mary Jo Malotta-Willey from the Diz Unplugged Disneyland edition. Mary Jo, welcome back.
Hello, thank you. I've got some serious scoring to do here.
You do. You've got at least, well, you know, you you scored our first week, and is your comeback. This is comeback time now for you after last week. Okay, so just a quick review of the rules. If you get the correct answer and you don't hear the multiple choice options, you can get 3 points. If I give you the multiple choice answers, you can get 2 points. If you ask to have an incorrect answer removed, you get 1 point. Or if the other person answers the question incorrectly and you can answer it correctly, you will get 1 point. Okay, Mary Jo, would you like to hear the first question, take the first question, or would you like to hand it off to Craig?
I think I will take it this week.
Okay. All right, this is for March 4th. This film is voted number one in the top 100 animated features of all time by the Online Film Critics Society on March 4th, 2003.
Can I have multiple choice, please?
Sure. Is it A, Sleeping Beauty, B, Bambi, C, Toy Story, or D, Beauty and the Beast?
And the question again?
This film is voted number one in the top 100 animated features of all time by the Online Film Critics Society on March 4th, 2003. And Which of those four do they think is number one?
You said Bambi, right? You named Bambi as one of them?
Sleeping Beauty, Bambi, Toy Story, or Beauty and the Beast?
Okay, Bambi's my all-time favorite, but I think that the online community would have chosen Toy Story.
You are correct. Toy Story is voted number one in the top 100 animated features of all times. Other Disney films in the top 10 include Fantasia, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Beauty and the Beast, The Nightmare Before Christmas, and Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Wow. So Mary Jo, you're pulling out strong with 2 points here. Okay, Craig, over to you for March 5th. This attraction opened at Epcot Center on March 5th, 1983.
The Horizons.
That is incorrect.
No!
That opened on October 1st.
Of 83, right?
Of 83.
Yeah, I knew 83.
Yes.
So you had the year right at least.
I knew the... Yeah.
Okay, Mary Jo, would you like to steal?
Sure, I'd like to try to give it a try.
Okay, I will give you, since you're stealing, I can give you the options. Is it B, the Morocco Pavilion, C, the Norway Pavilion featuring Maelstrom, or D, Journey into Imagination?
I'm thinking those pavilions were probably there. I'm going to go into Journey into Imagination.
Well, those pavilions were not there, but...
No? That tells you how much I don't know about Epcot, right?
But you are correct. It was Journey into Imagination. It was presented by Kodak. It was located in the Imagination Pavilion. Of course, this is the one that features Dreamfinder, who teaches Figment, the small purple creature with orange steer horns, voiced by Billy Barty, to use his imagination. And of course, this features this favorite song, One Little Spark. And over the years, this attraction will be reimagined several times. Journey into Your Imagination in 1999 and Journey into Imagination with Figment in 2002. So,
and I was about ready to say that. I knew that was the other thing that opened in 1983. And then I stopped myself. So Mary Jo, you could have a point.
That was very gallant of you.
I think Jackie may have done that to me last time around, but I don't remember. They're all blurring together.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Mary Jo, this one is for you for March 6th. So, this city was incorporated on March 6th, 1888. Walt Disney will live here.
Sydney? Say that again, please.
This city was incorporated on March 6th, 1888. Walt Disney will live here.
I need multiple choice.
Okay. Is it A, Marceline, Missouri, B, Burbank, California, C, Chicago, Illinois, or D, Kansas City, Missouri?
Oh my gosh, I know I'm going to bomb on this one. I'm going to go with Marceline.
Very good. The answer is A. The city of Marceline, Missouri, the future boyhood home of Walt Disney, is incorporated. And the Disneys will arrive in Marceline in 1906 and stay for about 4 years.
Yay.
Excellent. Okay, so Mary Jo, you have 3 points to Craig's 2. And Craig, here you go for March 7th.
Wait.
This Disney...
I don't think I have any points, do I?
I thought you... Right, I jotted down. Let me see here.
I don't think I have any
No,
points.
You're right. No, you do not. Okay. Alrighty.
You're so honest, Mr. Williams.
I believe the score is 5-0. I am getting crushed this round.
It is. See, I always do, and it's 5-0. That's right. I wrote one number in the wrong column there. Okay. Alrighty. Thank you. It's all the going back and forth and stealing. It throws me off. Okay, but it is Craig's turn, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. This Disney executive was born on March 7th, 1942.
I guess the question is, do I want to be bold and make a guess? Because I don't think at this point I can win anyways.
Oh, you could.
Well, is this the fourth question?
It is.
I'm just going to be random. I'll guess Michael Eisner.
You are correct.
Oh, wow.
Very good. Michael Eisner, who ran the Walt Disney Company from 1984 to 2005, is born in Mount Kisco, New York, although he was raised in New York City. So, very good. Didn't
good
even
job.
Hear the... Here, so, 3-5. But Mary Jo, you're still in the lead. Okay. So Mary Jo, here you go for March 8th. This world leader visited Epcot Center on March 8th, 1983.
I have no... Please give me multiple choice.
All right, and I just am apologizing right away for how I pronounce some of these names of these illustrious foreign dignitaries. A, is it Mohammed Karim Lamrani, who is the Prime Minister of Morocco? B, Kari Willock, who's the Prime Minister of Norway? C, Ronald Reagan, President of the United States? Or D, Javier Perez de Cuellar, United Nations Secretary General.
Based on something you said earlier, which is probably just throw me off anyway, I'm going to try Ronnie Reagan.
Okay, you are correct. It is
Yay!
President Reagan. He paid a visit to Epcot. He was escorted by Dick Nunes, president of Walt Disney World, and several hundred math and science students from Central Florida. He first visits the American Experience attraction before making an afternoon speech at a podium located on the World Showcase Lagoon, directly opposite of Spaceship Earth. The president speaks of the promise of Epcot Center and what it meant to his friend Walt Disney and to the world. So, Mary Jo, very good. You have 7 points to Craig's 3. So, Craig, gotta pull this out here.
I'm going to have to, essentially, to get a tie, I'm going to have to guess this one without any multiple choice and then hope Mary Jo doesn't get it and I can get a steal.
Well, yeah, because there's 2 more questions here, yeah. So. Okay. All right, so March 9th, This groundbreaking three-part television series debuts on the ABC TV Walt Disney's Disneyland show on March 9th, 1955, hosted by Walt Disney.
I will go with... Oh, my... See, the problem is I don't know if I need to have, like, an exact title for it.
Well...
gosh.
I would say if you get close.
I mean, I'm just thinking that when Davy Crockett was released, it was the three different parts. And then River Pirates, and the next one that was released, that was two parts. So I'm gonna go with the first round of Davy Crockett's.
Hey, that is incorrect.
No.
Okay.
Listen, I had to be bold.
Mary Cho. Yeah, Mary Cho, you can steal. I'll give you the choices. Is it this groundbreaking three-part television series debuts on the ABC TV Walt Disney's Disneyland show on March 9th, 1955, hosted by Walt Disney? Is it B, Man in Space, C, Dateline Disneyland, or D, Texas John Slaughter?
Okay, so I'm thinking, I never even heard of Craig probably heard of all of these. I'm going to try Dateline Disneyland.
Okay, that is incorrect.
That was actually more right.
Yeah, it was Man in Space, the first of a three-part series about space travel. The show features Walt Disney animator Ward Kimball, who directed the series, and a number of scientists, including Wernher von Braun, who will later be one of the leaders of the American space program. Here's a little trivia. The show is narrated by Dick Tufeld, who will later be known as the voice of the robot on the television series Lost in Space. The next two parts of Man in the Moon and Mars and Beyond will be aired over the next few years. This series will be very influential in getting support for the U.S. Manned space project. In fact, the very next day, President Eisenhower contacted Walt Disney and asked for a copy of this film.
Wow. So, mm-hmm. Now I want to see it.
Yeah,
that's good. You got to go get your Walt Disney treasures at the Tomorrowland.
Yeah, it's on there. It's really good. So. Okay. All right. And Mary Jo, here you go. March 10th. On March 10th, 2004, the Florida Department of Environmental Protection presents its new Green Lodgings Award to these two Walt Disney World resorts.
What year? 2004.
2004.
You said? Mm-hmm. I'll take multiple choice.
Okay. Is it A, Animal Kingdom Lodge and Coronado Springs Resort, B, Animal Kingdom Lodge and Boardwalk Resort, C, Yacht and Beach Club Resort and Boardwalk Resort, or D, Coronado Springs Resort and Boardwalk Resort?
I'm going to go with A. I think it was Animal Kingdom Lodge and Coronado Springs.
Okay. Right, that is incorrect. Okay, Craig, do you want to steal for 1 point?
I guess so.
Okay, do you want me to run through these again?
It's not going to help me anyways. I'm just going to be completely guessing on it. So I would say I'll go with the Animal Kingdom and Boardwalk one.
Okay, no, that's incorrect. It was the two most unlikely ones. D, Coronado Springs and Boardwalk Resorts.
See, I didn't think that the Boardwalk Resort would have got that, so that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, they're two of the first four hotels in Florida to receive the awards. This honor is given to hotel properties that feature innovative and imaginative programs to conserve natural resources, reduce waste, minimize pollution, and reduce costs.
Yeah, that's just mind-boggling to me, because considering that, I guess they both have convention center spaces, but I figured that's what would kill Coronado, is that, you know, conventioners come through and just leave it trashed and disgusting, and that there's no way being green could help fix that place up. But
yeah. Anyway, well, our final score is 7-3. Mary Jo, you are the first person in one of these quizzes to actually beat Craig. Congratulations.
No, Rhino did. Rhino did 1 week.
Oh, that's right. Rhino did. That's right, because we had to have a tie breaker.
Yeah.
So, Mary Jo, you're the second one. Although, I think Mary Jo beat you more than Rhino.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he skunked me the last game, so.
It was a large gap. I need to start learning to stop being so bold about guessing without hearing the multiple choice, but I'll learn one day.
Yeah, so anyway, Mary Jo, you've appeared 3 times, so even though you did pull out in this one, you know, it was still 2-3 in Craig's favor. So, but we don't want you to go home empty-handed. So, of course, you will get a lovely parting gift of Liquid Pledge, waxed beauty, instantly as you dust.
Yay! My house will be so shiny.
It will, and lemony.
So I bow to the master, Mr. Craig Williams.
No, thank you. You were a fun competitor.
You were. Yeah, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, too. Michael, this was great. I love these questions that you put together, so.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. So, all right. Well, and for everyone else, we will be back next week for another round of this day in Disney History Quiz with a whole new competitor for Craig. So tune in next time to see who that will be and how Craig fares. So join us next time when some of you become a part of our show, because Craig and I will be answering more questions sent in by our listeners. Now, Craig, I haven't looked at the list yet. Have you looked at it?
Oh, we have a ginormous amount of questions. The last time I counted, it was around 90 questions already submitted. So I wish Michael and I had a spare 6 or 7 hours to answer each and every one of them. And I know that there's probably been more submitted. And after we just said this now, because we're still a couple, we're still a little while away from recording that episode. So I'm sure we'll get more in between when we even start with that. So we'll try to get through as many as we can in that hour time that we get for the episode. I do want to say thank you to everyone for following the directions this time. Last time, you know, we said a lot about trying to keep it more based around actual questions that we can answer and not asking for broader show topics and ideas. So everyone finally listened for the most part, a couple still here and there, but everyone did a great job listening and sent us some great questions that we'll be able to answer. So thank you so much for that.
Okay. Just to let you know then that I'm going to start, you know, sorting through them this weekend. So more than likely after Sunday, I'm not going to see any more questions. So anyway, so that's, let's sort of make that our cutoff.
Yeah, unless you show up to Michael's house on Tuesday afternoon.
Yes, and you can get across the moat, you know, with the live gators and all that. Yeah. So anyway, so Craig, where can our listeners connect with you on the Diz Unplugged until we have our Q&A?
As always, you can find me on the Walt Disney World Edition podcast, the Universal Edition podcast, the Diz Daily Fix, here, there, and everywhere, and of course on Twitter and Instagram at Teleclaster. Michael, what about you?
Well, you can always send me messages at michael@wdwinfo.com. At Twitter, I'm at mbowling121. Facebook, I'm Michael Bowling, with the Connecting with Walt logo there. Instagram, Michael Bowling the Diz. But you can connect with both me and Walt at our Connecting with Walt Twitter account, at Connecting Walt. There's a lot of good stuff on there, too, for those of you who listen to us because you like Disney history. So if you would like to listen to more shows on the history of Walt Disney, his studio, his Imagineers, and Disneyland, check out our Disneyland podcast archives for My Disney History episodes at www.disunplug.com, and look for past episodes of Connecting with Walt on iTunes, where you can subscribe to our show and leave some positive reviews and ratings. So thank you for making us a part of your day. And remember, I only hope that we don't lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a man, Walt Disney, and his brother Roy.